evening, everyone. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters is a show that presents a very delightful array of people making a difference on the planet at this time. And there is a lot of turbulence on our planet here in headed toward 2012. One of my favorite guests is Linda Sherman, who's come in to talk about the impact, what is it, the astrological shifts and changes, and how she can read them to give us clues about what's going to happen in the economic shifts that are going on, because there's definitely economic shifts, and where's the positive side of it, and what planets are wiggling so that the weather changes, and oh golly. This is Linda Sherman of What Next, a survival guide to the 21st century, and her wonderful monthly newsletter called Soothsayer, and you are a soothsayer, soothsayer.com. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Well, thank you, Veronica. It's a delight to be here.
Well, and you told me quite a while ago that at this time there was going to be some tremendous turbulence because of where the lineups are. Can you talk a little bit about the astrological lineups right now?
Absolutely. We're at this given point. There are many things that have been going on throughout the year that have indicated extreme crises throughout the world. We've had Jupiter, Uranus, Saturn, and Pluto all in a massive T-square with one another, which to most non-astrologers is a completely meaningless statement. but to us, we realize that there would be, I call this the age of consequences, given the primary momentum is the transit of Pluto in Capricorn, who will be here through 2022.
And doesn't Pluto demand the truce, or doesn't it break?
Pluto is a planet of intense focus, intense. And by intensity, I mean you cannot escape it. The realities of what we have developed, what we have created, are pushed in our faces, the flaws, the issues, the problems with the use and abuse of power, with social and economic inequities. And interestingly enough, Pluto was in Capricorn at the time of the American Revolution.
Uh-huh.
And it will return to our natal Pluto in the chart of the USA in 2020. So we're building up the same inequities.
Well, what does that mean, that the revelations, the illuminations of that which is hidden and the inequities that have been hidden but keep rising to the surface, is that part of that?
It definitely is. That's a very good way to put it, Veronica. We are being confronted with having fallen back into a control of the world's resources, finances, and quality of life by a relative handful of selfish, narcissistic people. This time it's what I call the global series of cabals, or great concentration of wealth, and they're all in an economic recovery.
Well, you know something, when I sent out my little flyer telling everybody that you were coming on again, I put on it, what's next? It's time to wake up. Does that make any difference? If we know this, if we actually come to terms with this as a reality, what can we do?
Well, just what you said, number one, we need to wake up. I think that the past 20, 30 years that this country on a mass basis, that's not including certain individuals or groups of people, but on a mass basis, a collective basis, has gone to sleep, or as I'm fond to say, went into a coma. And as all the signs were evolving about the outsourcing of jobs and the reduction in real wealth
and offshore
and
investment
deficits and Wall Street derivatives trade, which is now moving around the most money of any industry except for arms and drugs. Arms, drugs, and derivatives.
Oh, isn't that something?
What the economy now consists of on a global level. All of these things going on, people just went to sleep. They allowed themselves, the media dominated mostly by giant corporations who have their interests, and culminating in last January's eclipse of transiting Venus. Venus is what I'm talking about, and the sign of Libra is what I'm talking about a lot recently, because Saturn is transiting in the sign of Libra, and Venus is its ruler, and there was eclipse January 15th when our Supreme Court ruled that unlimited amounts of money could now directly come from corporations that could advertise for their favorite candidate.
I can't believe that. That was so heartbreaking for people.
Yes, and I feel that was as big a deal as when Bush was brought in by the Supreme Court as president in 2000, denying the constitutional right of the state of Florida to count their votes and determine who won.
But Linda, the question I have always, 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 and I've probably asked you this for years, is what could we have done had we wakened up? What would we have done? Would we have hit the streets? Would we have yelled and screamed? Would we have emailed each other until we were all wild with voting passion or what, you know?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer because it's all gone now. You know, those years that we might have. I really feel that one of the major problems was bottom line economics dominating the scenario instead of the greater good dominating the scenario as a focus or a concentration. One of the big things hardly anyone talks about is that over the past 20 to 30 years, civics, political science, and how to be a good citizen and an aware person concerning issues and people that you're going to vote for and how they've gone on the issues has been almost eliminated from most schools.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause we can't afford it. Hello?
Right, and we
go into prejudice thinking. We just sell them a bunch of junk food.
Right, well, the young people are simply not being educated. Instead, they watch television, a lot of which, I mean, there's some very good television out there if you want to watch, but most of it is really roughly equivalent to taking some kind of narcotic and escaping from everything. And most of it, by the way, this is very alarming to me, the TV, mainstream TV series and shows on mainstream TV are so violent that Law and Order and CSI and everybody murdering everybody else and looking at their cremated remains or whatever.
Even Medium.
Right. And this is what we have been given to our children, civics and political science. And to a great extent, history erased from curricula, and then sitting them in front of TVs all day, watching this violence and this giving them a vision of society that is this way. And then what is alarming to me is, as a professional astrologer, I'm dealing, you know, with hundreds and hundreds of people every year, and I'm seeing so many young people that are now going for college degrees. Guess where? Criminal justice.
Yeah, really, yeah.
I can't believe how many of my young clients are going in. They're either joining the military or they're going for criminal justice because this is the kind of society they see. And they do not see themselves as voters, really, who can determine who gets in office and represents them or does not represent them.
But the whole thing, too, about the money has actually hoodwinked people, where people are so, like there's no money in teaching, there's no money in social services, there's no money in helping people, there's no money in love, there's no money in... You know, it's just over and over again, as if you conscripting.
Of course, we live in a society whose value is mechanistic materialism.
Right.
I call it M&M.
So,
mechanistic, and now they're trying to persuade us to privatize or get rid of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, everything should be thrown out that is in any way gives a struggling so-called middle-class person a chance to reduce most of the people to dire poverty in soup kitchens if they're lucky, and let this handful, upper 2% of the population, control the economy, having 85 to 95% of the wealth. And because these people control the media and the marketplace, we don't have a free market. The notion of free market capitalism is actually a pretty good idea, but that's not what we have. We have monopolistic oligarchies right now.
Right.
And they control what people are looking at. They control what people are, that turn up in the stores. And we don't have a free market.
And they don't control it by plan as much as they control it because it works and people are reducing their, or many people have reduced their ability to think for themselves in that market.
Your earlier question was interesting because back in the 60s, we saw people marching on Washington, and recently we saw a teabaggers thing in Washington,
mm-hmm.
and which to me was an absolute sham, because if you investigate the teabaggers, you'll find out that they are financed by big money.
Oh, heavens.
And that their values or what they want are pretty much the same as what the kind of world George Bush and the Republicans created.
Hmm.
So, interestingly enough, there is a terrific article in the August 30th issue of New York Magazine by Jane Mayer. It's called Covert Operations, and it's about the Koch brothers, the billionaires who are waging a war against President Obama, and that are the real major financers of the entire Tea Party movement.
Oh, wow.
They're libertarians who believe that, you know, that we should have no social programs, that the government should stay out of people's lives.
Well,
altogether.
Oh, and you know, that's a twist. I mean, you're talking about a spin before we started our. Oh, incidentally, for people listening, I apologize if there's a kind of a buzz on this program, but we had to move all our electronics because we had a power failure just before we started this. So my precious Bob fixed it all up, but there's a little buzz on the line. But we were talking about, and so I apologize for that, but you and I were talking about the spin that's put on different things. And when you talk about power or out of the hands of the government, I'm going, that is such a distorted line in a way. Because government is supposed to be of the people, and the people have absolutely no recourse unless they're in the lineup to be a part of the billionaireage, right?
Well, see, if people have asked me, what would I do if I had one thing that I could effectively do to change the direction of this country?
Mm-hmm.
And it, to me, that question is easy to answer. I would take all money out of politics.
I agree with you.
Everything would be a federal fund set out for all candidates to have three major debates broadcast on television. It would be a matter of law,
mm-hmm.
and a minimal amount to travel around and talk to people with. It has now become a playground for billionaires, that no one can run for office unless he's in bed with the devil,
mm-hmm.
has made a Faustian agreement with these large corporate heads and big money. Big money speaks. It is what finances campaigns. And one of the reasons I feel that we're disappointed in President Obama is that at the very last minute in his presidential campaign, Goldman Sachs made the biggest contribution in history of any that they had made to a presidential campaign to him.
And what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that he's hand in glove with them and has to do what they say?
Not necessarily, but okay. It means that there are Faustian bargains made.
Right.
Because the only way a person can get elected is with major money. Now, not all the big money people get elected, but the only way you can be a player is if you have significant amounts of financial contributions behind you. I feel that it influenced Obama in hiring Geithner and Summers.
Yes, I do.
As his chief, which is my biggest beef with him, saying that to save these giant firms on Wall Street and put money into their hands rather than more directly into the hands of taxpayers and local banks. To let them, this so-called financial reform bill is pretty much nothing unless they, because it is written in such a way that it's really up to the regulators, the hired hand, so to speak. That, by the way, that's what Geithner was, the
right.
head of the New York Federal Reserve, and didn't regulate anything.
Also, when they did the punishment, the great fine of Goldman Sachs,
that was like about what they pay for toilet paper in couple of days.
Oh, I was horrified.
But this is what happens with these people. You can't. I think Obama.
So wait a sec. Is Obama not able to do anything about that?
Well, I think number one, I want to clear the air. I think he's a basically decent, intelligent individual.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of what the teabaggers spreading rumors that he's a Muslim and he was born in Kenya and, you know, all of these crazy
lies. He's the Antichrist, says Glenn Beck.
Instituting fear and racism and everything around him.
But Glenn Beck's calling him the Antichrist, I think.
Yeah, well, basically he's about as straight in economically, politically. He's really I would call him a right-leaning Democrat who was primarily raised by his very traditional grandparents from Kansas and who was educated at Harvard and Columbia and went up and never created 1 ounce of controversy.
And he knew how to play that game, didn't he?
Yes.
Somebody explained he got in the pipeline and to get in the pipeline.
If an African-American man was going to get elected president or get to the top, he could not be controversial.
Right.
And that, I feel, the very thing that helped him to get where he got now is the very thing that is bringing his presidency down. Mm-hmm. He has got to be controversial. He's got to stand up to these buzzards. He's got to stand up to them and push. Now, the other thing is he has Congress on his hands. And even his own party, there are so many dissenters in his own party that they can't make anything happen. The way Washington works right now and the way things are going is paralyzed. And this is part of the Pluto Saturn. First we had, when Obama was elected, we had Uranus of change, opposition, Saturn, which is the establishment. Then we had Saturn and Pluto squaring each other, going along. So we've had Saturn, Uranus, which returned in that opposition in April, May of this year. And then we had the Saturn-Pluto square, which is in operation right now, which is the Plutonians, the entrenched power, versus those who want to reorganize this or redistribute that power and wealth. So we, as a nation and as a globe in the world at large, it's not just about America, we're going through wrestling with what it takes to evoke real change for the greater good versus entrenched wealth and power, which are the signatures that those we astrologers have been writing essays and books about. That's what my book is about.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good book. But I just want to ask this question, Linda, is that need to bring kind of a truth and that struggle that you just talked about, is that flowing through the collective, is that hitting a lot of us at different levels, you know, levels of our own ability to comprehend?
Well, first of all, we're a big country, and there's a lot of people. And unfortunately, there are a tremendous number of people in this nation that are either uneducated or uneducated. See, I am for what our founding fathers were for, and that is dissent and everybody's voice being heard.
Okay.
And so I don't have any objection to somebody disagreeing with me at all. I like to hear them present a good, well-documented, well-thought-out case.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what we have. Unfortunately, there's a large percentage of the population that have been so clueless about what's been going on in the world, in this country, that they latch on to a language, hate-mongering mm-hmm. language, and spooky rumors, you know.
You know, one of the things that bugs me, and I know I have an old activist background, and my heart is in change in a lot of ways, but many people rabbit or repeat that line that if it weren't for Medicare and if it weren't for welfare, this country would be better off financially. And I go, are you kidding? That's such a pittance compared to what the big robberies are, you
yes.
know, and
well,
the derivatives. But the people who believe it are of a lower potential, you know what I'm
what
saying?
What we have spent on global wars and are currently spending on our military right now to control the world's major oil reserves
right.
is so far beyond
Social Security
that
yeah.
we're spending. Trillions and trillions of dollars are tied up in this. And the reality we are not facing, Veronica, is that we, in 2006, essentially, according to the Oil Drum, the leading publication that keeps track of these things, reached global peak oil in all of the major known oil fields. By the way, one of the reasons Mexico is the drug wars and the situation there is accelerating and getting worse is that their major oil fields reached peak oil and went down very rapidly. So the income they used to generate from oil has been greatly, greatly diminished. So their gross national product is down.
Hmm.
Now, the oil fields in the Middle East, they're using specific types of water pressure and thing to get oil up now because peak oil means that the easily retrieved oil wells are no longer easily retrieved. You have to resort, and pretty soon it costs more for the equipment and the energy to get the oil out of the ground than you can sell the oil for.
Well, tell me this. Somebody sent me something which I haven't taken the time, partly because we had a power problem here, to read, but it's about Obama is cutting back on permission for people to do alternate energy things. Apparently there's a big shutdown on that. Or is that just
I cannot answer that because I'm not sure that that is true. There are a lot of things, headlines that you get that either exaggerate or distort something. There is truth, however, because I investigated it, too, that Obama is allowing these new coal mines and coal companies to crop up, especially out west. In Idaho and Montana and the western United States. There is no such thing as clean coal.
Okay.
That is a complete conundrum there. That is an oxymoron. and lots of morons. There is no clean coal. The technology they talk about, which would sequester the carbon, is a theory. It has not been done anywhere. And coal is massively dirty. The effluent from mining coal goes into underground aquifers and poisons the wells and the aquifers, as does the fracking for gas that's going up here where I live, in my area, upstate New York and Pennsylvania. And the Delaware River, which used to be one of the cleanest rivers, is now threatened by the array of poisonous chemicals they use to extract this gas from what is called the Marcellus Shale. These kinds of rock formations have these pockets of natural gas. Some people think it's the largest deposits in the world, but it's destroying aquifers.
Hmm.
It's destroying rivers. It's destroying wells. It's poisoning people. We cannot and look at what the Gulf oil eruption just did.
Mm-hmm.
The sea life it killed. The local economies that it killed. The oceans are being poisoned by this. And we're doing it, and we're doing it more than ever. And the reason is we've reached peak oil. They're drilling deeply in these deep waters, offshore deep waters, because they are desperate. And we're not facing it. If we put the trillions of dollars that were given over to the oil companies to do this toxic drilling and digging, and put it into sustainable energy and batteries and this kind, and created those things over here, not outsourcing them, but having these things. This is what Jennifer Granholm, the governor of Michigan, is trying to do, is create jobs there in the manufacturing of solar and windmill and electric cars and all of these things, in which we need to move toward away from fossil fuel and into sustainable energy. And if we put our energies, our hearts, our souls, our money into this, we could definitely change the direction of the world.
So that's a part of waking up. If enough people started to pay attention to that as a viable occupation, as a viable pursuit, right?
Exactly.
I heard that. I was just, somebody was explaining how interesting it is over in Aspen, Colorado, and they've got these, apparently there's a huge commitment on that community to be off the grid, so to speak, or mostly off the grid, and they've got huge fields of solar cells that people plug into.
Right.
That's, I had not known
about. We have to recognize also that we really need to do something now, because in order to manufacture solar panels, windmills or anything else, batteries, you have to do manufacturing, and right now manufacturing is, the energy they use is oil and gas.
Mm.
So we have to realize we're using everything up very, very quickly, and if we're going to use it up, we need to use it on breakthrough inventions that can eventually get us off the very energy we're using to manufacture the solar panels.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's pretty complicated, isn't it?
It is very complicated if you read scientists and environmentalists, and not to speak of the thing that so many people want to deny, and that's global climate change and global warming and the melting of glaciers everywhere. We, within a decade, we're going to have a global problem with fresh water.
Mm-hmm.
It's escalating right now. And with Uranus and Jupiter retrograde back into Pisces right now, we really need to be dealing with water issues, water purification, desalinization. And how are we going to save? We can't live without water.
No, I know.
We bad water management plus droughts, in, because we have, we can no longer deny the severe climate change that this globe is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, there, it's overwhelming to so many people, and understandably so, because for years and years we've been building up to this kind of economic paradigm, which is deadly for the majority of people.
Mm-hmm.
We've been building up to global climate change, which I happen to think, as an astrologer, would have happened anyway. It's just that our carbon in our atmosphere has accelerated and made a cycle that probably would have happened with or without us worse.
Hmm. So do you think that the Pakistan flood and the China and all of that, do you think that's what that's about, or...
Yes, I do. Mm. Absolutely, and so do the climatologists.
Okay.
Many, many areas throughout the world, Bangladesh and southern India and Pakistan, and many of these areas are they're situated in such a way, such as New Orleans was situated in such a way, with bad civil engineering and things that needed to be done that nobody did, to be devastated by Hurricane Katrina. There are places, concentrations of population that are very situated in such a way as to be subject to this.
So the problem is knowing some of this coming up. What you've expressed earlier... my brain is trying to bring in far too many pieces at once, but I'm thinking of the global economic corruption, A.
Right.
B, when you're talking about how, for example, how much industry has to change to create, for example, solar panels and find a way to do that without using gas and oil, that's a huge kind of stretch marks. And
My feeling right now is with the situation we're in, now, we need to use whatever we've got to to create these new inventions and new devices, and we need to put money into companies that are actually making headway in finding a new, almost infinite source of energy. You know, Nikola Tesla, the genius who was alive at the same time as Edison was, Nikola Tesla, one of the greatest geniuses of the 20th century, had a theory that you could harness electricity from the air.
And that's true. And there are a lot of people who know that now, huh?
Right. And there are things like this, and I also feel that the accelerator in CERN, Switzerland that created earlier this year a successful experiment with accelerating a particle, creating a black hole, and simulating the creation of the universe. At this level of study in physics, we may come across virtually an infinite source of energy. There are things that could be done to change this. And a great invention, once an experiment is successful, could transform everything overnight. But it doesn't matter. These inventors have been around. Tesla was around. These people are shoved into the woodwork or shoved under the rug by giant corporations whose only interest is their personal profits.
I'm going back to the question. Can we awaken enough to defend and protect and call forth those beings? Can we fight the corporations by waking up?
I absolutely believe that we can.
Okay. I kind of do too, actually. And I believe this Pluto, when you're talking about it, I think that in a way, doesn't it imply the breaking up of things that have been concealed? And doesn't that imply also that we would wake up?
I think Pluto in Capricorn, the consequences on a worldwide basis are going to be so severe that it's literally you're going to wake up or you're going to die.
Okay.
This is your culture, your society will simply die if it doesn't wake up.
Uh-huh.
That's what Pluto is. It's an all or nothing concept of a planet. Hmm. And you either come alive and you say, I'm going to rise to this occasion. Crisis is in the old Chinese proverb that the same word for crisis is the word for opportunity.
Right. I remember that.
And that is such an insight into that, that if we realize, we mobilize ourselves, that young people particularly have got to do this. We need the energy, the vitality of youth. And many of them are so unhealthy and obese from the bad food that they've been eating. And
conscription by advertising and stupid movies and so on. It's very,
exactly.
Very frustrating to me, and low education. But I want to get back to that. But I want to change the subject a little bit to what's going on in Arizona with the immigration laws. I had some questions sent to me here saying, why did Obama put forth Arizona's federal immigration laws to the United Nations as violations? There's something about, this person asked me a long question.
Well, I don't think Obama put that in the, I think what Obama did was his attorney general sued the state of Arizona for this law, and Obama's lawsuit on the state of it was upheld by a federal judge.
Okay.
What we're dealing with here, and I understand people who live in Arizona, how distress doesn't even describe how desperate they feel about, especially about the Mexican drug lords and their people in the border regions of Arizona, the fights, the violence, the corruption.
I've heard they're even having machine guns in campsites, government campsites these days.
It's really awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand their distress. But this law in Arizona, what it actually does is say that any cop could stop you or me or anyone anywhere demanding that we produce proof of our citizenship. There's already federal laws against, that's why they're called illegal immigrants.
Right.
Because they're not here legally. We already have laws. Now, what are the sources of all these illegals that have come in and hidden out and faked their identities and done everything to get here. Number one, absolute devastation in Mexico and Central and South America, often where they come from. It's devastation. They're starving. They have essentially no economy there. So they're desperate. Secondly, it's industrialized corporate farming and the corporations over here that want to employ people for nothing. That's why manufacturing was outsourced to China and Asia, why computers and engineering and technology was outsourced to India, why we have no jobs left in this country. Mm-hmm. The jobs we have are a pittance.
Mm-hmm. And the quality of products has gone down tremendously.
Corporations do not want to pay labor. They're not interested in labor rights, pay, benefits. They also do not want to comply with environmental laws. Manufacturing is dirty in every sense of the word. You have to put filters and funnels and everything else. And in China, what are they doing? They're employing people 30 to 50 cents an hour. They're working them 7 days a week for 10 hours a day. And many of them now are committing suicide, by the way they're treated over there. And the pollution is horrendous. The air, you have to wear masks in Chinese cities. They have such air pollution.
And a lot of their low-cost products are making people over here sick,
exactly,
which I guess is the consequence,
Veronica,
isn't it?
But there are no environmental standards. So many of the products that we're getting, by the way, those toxic toys were from an American company, Mattel. But they were made in China. And this is the point I'm trying to make. It's mostly American companies that are making things in China and shipping them back here and selling them to us at cheap prices. But then we're not working in those companies, so we have no jobs. And also the environmental standards are non-existent. So their rivers are so loaded with industrial poisons that the water has become undrinkable. Hmm. The soil is contaminated, and the air is becoming unbreathable.
But I also heard that they're leading the world in green materials.
They are. China, remember, China has a communist dictatorship.
Right.
We can't forget this. This is not a capitalist country.
Right. Right.
The people who are... A lot of the industries are government-owned, and the profits there are made by a relative handful of people. Now, what we have here to deal with is we're trying to compete against that. And I just feel that the U.S. companies there are no rules of law. What needs to happen is that we need to bring the companies that we need to give them certain tax breaks. I'm for that. I'm not all for no tax breaks. I think to give them a better tax. Right now they get a tax break for leaving the country.
Right.
And reinstitute the old laws that discouraged outsourcing, that encouraged manufacturing in the United States, that were there for many, many, many years through both Democratic and Republican presidents. But
so,
they've got to comply with environmental laws and standards.
All right,
and
so
you
what's...
You mentioned about China and green.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, China is making a major effort toward being the leading producer of solar panels in the world.
Right.
They're making that effort. They're also putting more and more coal mines online. And you notice how many accidents with coal miners are happening in China. And, of course, there's the most recent one in Chile. All over the world, we seem to be having dreadful coal mining accidents, pointing out how dangerous and destructive coal mining really is.
It's a little out of parallel with the Great Gulf Oil thing, isn't it? Digging deep.
China has also gone around the world and is buying up oil reserves and land and commodities everywhere, all over the world. So, yes.
But isn't there going to be a little revelation or illumination in their world as well? I mean,
I hope so.
That's what's...
Because the Chinese people on the whole are suffering. Yes, the nation has developed in certain ways. They put up a lot of big buildings. They're selling products and everything. But at the same time, the pollution is so bad. I wonder about the life expectancy of mm-hmm. Chinese people, how they're going to be able to live through the combination of global warming, which has destroyed the glacier melt on the Mongolian steppes, which is why they have the equivalent of a dust bowl, winds of dust and sand coming in from that area because there's no more glaciers there, and the glaciers are no longer feeding the Yangtze and Yellow Rivers, which are their main aquifers, which are now filled with industrial pollutants. So China has massive problems. And yes, the answer to your original question, they are making solar panels, but the problems they have right now are monumental, and they are also developing more sources of coal and oil on a global basis, but they're opening up a huge number of coal mines. They're still generating most of their electricity through coal.
Wow, so it's kind of very complex. So and there's something that bothered me too. I was reading articles or I've heard some things about how the youth in China have adopted some of our own youth's hopeless, wild, looks out of control, being really angry and nothing but rock music and piercings and so on.
Yeah, this is what concerns me, Veronica, is people, instead of organizing themselves with cohesive issues and things in mind, to a certain degree, there are internet organizations
exactly.
to do that.
Yes.
You can email your congressman. You can vote on something through email. You can send petitions to Congress through email. There are online political organizations that you can kind of join and make your voice. So that is a positive thing. You mentioned earlier about, as far as demonstrating is concerned.
So we can connect, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I really think that a lot of efforts need to be made in local templates. Such as you people are doing in Washington and around Portland, Oregon, up in the western United States, and you mentioned Aspen, Colorado,
mm-hmm.
that communities need to organize themselves around organic farming, recycling of water sustainably, instituting more sustainable energies like from windmills and solar, that there need to be kind of a local dedication of this. And does provide local jobs and local bank, for instance, state banks, perhaps need to be set up that are off that grid of all of these banks loaded with toxic loans that are going under and connected up with the big giants like JP Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs. There needs to be more local,
So like gathering resources together and doing something to stabilize your own community.
Education
even. You know what I heard is that a fellow in Grass Valley went around and got people who had acreage that wasn't being used, and he started a little farming institute, and he had farmers, young kids or young people, apprentices and interns, and they filled these empty acreages with wonderful vegetation and so on, which the people who donated, they didn't donate the land, they just had their land being used. And I guess it really is going like wildfire, all these people having organic vegetables and everybody's learning, and apparently it's a wonderful experience.
Veronica, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I think that is fabulous.
Yeah,
and that's
it's
the
wonderful.
Direction, especially our young people and old, everybody mm-hmm. needs to get on that bandwagon and set up, because people talk about these things in theory, but they need to be done. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of labor that you have to put in to farming and gardening and creating systems that recycle water. And, there's a lot of thought and work and labor that has to be done, but it is so worth it. And the people who get involved also tend to be physically healthier.
Right. It's very educational, meaning if our education is waning, this is an education that really gives people brilliant, you know, a source within themselves to keep learning and growing and so on?
I love this idea. I love it because I think education needs to morph or transmute itself into hands-on, relevant, localized education. Mm-hmm. Let's learn what we need to learn on the ground to live as citizens, as growing our food locally and healthily, being in a sense, sustainable energy people. We need this, and there's no better way than to actually go out and do it.
Well, are there planetary configurations that are implying that that's going to be generated in our collective psyche?
Absolutely.
Great. What are they?
Well, I feel that as the Pluto in Capricorn evolves and the conditions on our planet get steadily, increasingly more difficult, this also symbolizes in 2012 through 2016 tectonic changes, volcanic eruptions and earthquakes accelerating, and we have certainly seen that this year. So we need to have that as a place of awareness as well, that the Earth is telling us we have to change,
mm-hmm.
that we have to change the way we live, we have to change the way we think. And by the time Pluto goes into Aquarius in 2022, around in there, 2024, in that area, I really think that we will have transformed ourselves into something that serves humanity at large. And I really do feel that the Pluto in Capricorn is not a bad guy. Mm-hmm. He is, in a sense, making us aware of the consequences. If we think positively and we're down there digging in the dirt and doing good things with the Earth, Pluto will reward us. We will be helped. We will be assisted in this process. If we are still on the path to destruction, Pluto is very happy to accommodate us with that.
But it's interesting because both are happening. I mean, isn't that the way we've been living in this duality reality of ours? You know, that there is a huge move to oneness these days as well, in which people are beginning to wake up and be more and more aware of how we're all life and the divinity runs through everyone.
This is it. When we wake up, it becomes obvious what mm-hmm. we need to do. We don't have all of the answers to everything right now. I think once we have the real guts to face the problems that we have and where they originate, and then we take a deep breath and we ask for the greatness that resides in each and every one of us to break out of the old systems of beliefs that have held it back and be born within us. Suddenly an awareness takes us over, a wonderful feeling of love for the planet and for each other permeates our being, and we wouldn't think of doing anything else but good things.
You know, somebody told me many, many years ago when I was first launching my metaphysical search and, you know, really getting on my path, that consciousness was going to rise in a lot of people. And sometimes it might be in somebody really high up in the military, and that somebody could awaken even though they're in a position. I'll go back to the banksters, Bernanke and those guys, right?
Right.
I mean, that they could be hit with a certain amount of that consciousness as well, couldn't they?
Absolutely. It's easy to be in the blame game, and I plead guilty as charged.
Well, I get really upset and angry, but I'm trying to be, what I'm looking for here is some of the lights that can be going on as well.
It can be. It depends on people's very personal and private decisions
mm-hmm.
as to what they say to themselves and what they allow to happen within themselves, that depends on whether a person, and I don't think any of us can really judge that in anybody else.
Well, you know, I also think it's interesting that we have a PC and we have a cell phone, and a lot of us have our own world all wrapped up in that little piece, so it isn't actually, you know what I mean, it's kind of a metaphor of that inner awakening that has to go on, isn't it?
Exactly. We have a technology which technologies in which we can communicate with one another, but unless you awaken spiritually and in terms of soulfulness within yourself, all of that is just a lot of superficial exercise in narcissistic chatter.
And the gathering of money is similar as well, isn't it?
Exactly.
All right. Do you have anything? We have 5 minutes? Oh, my goodness. We have 5 minutes, Linda. We need to talk about, well, first of all, you've given me a little more hope about Obama earlier before we were talking. Can you talk about what Obama's done for the drug trade, for example?
Well, he has. What people don't realize is Obama has arrested more people and caught more illegals on the border regions than any other president before him. He has put more people there, more border policemen, and this is, again, his opponents keep saying he, you know, hasn't done it, but the truth of the matter, he actually has done more for this. And this law that was passed in Arizona, the tone of it and the quality of it, it reminds me of a police state. Everybody stopping, the police, they don't even want to do this. Basically, the police themselves, most of those cops do not want to do this. They don't want to stop everybody that looks like they have dark hair and olive-colored skin.
But you know, the law was instigated, the immigration thing was instigated, you think to, or you are saying to stop a lot of the drug trafficking and
I think there's a genuine push for the citizens of Arizona to stop these nightmarish scenarios, but you don't stop them unless you go to the source of the real problems, which is the completely gone economy of Mexico, the tragedy of Mexico, and secondly, the corporations over here who hire illegal immigrants all the time for a pittance of a wage. Slave labor, you might call it, in quotation points. So there are origins and sources that need to be addressed as opposed to creating a draconian law when we already have laws against this and these laws are being already enforced at the border.
Hmm.
Not as well as they should be because the problem is so big.
Yeah, really.
I'm not saying it's perfect or ideal because it is not, but the message I want to give is what I have been reading in terms of accumulating the facts is that there are more border police there than ever and more people are being caught and arrested and put in jail.
Can we jump? We've got about a minute or so. Can we just jump to Europe? Can you tell us what's going on over there? Some of the countries have been, Spain and Greece and so on.
I think that in Ireland, Latvia, Iceland, Greece, I mean, so many Europeans. We've got to remember that Europe as a whole is a bunch of different countries.
Right.
So, for instance,
and small countries, yeah.
Germany is still doing reasonably well. As is France compared to these. Ireland is completely devastated. They have essentially no banking system left. Their currency is essentially in default. Greece, the same way.
Was it a whole derivative thing? Is it the same thing? It's the mortgages?
It is. These derivative contracts and toxic mortgages were sold to these nations from our banksters.
Okay.
I'm concerned in the fall as Venus goes retrograde, October through November, that I am concerned about more currency defaults.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also concerned about Bernanke printing a lot of money to pay our massive debt back and to keep money. They're scared to death of a deflationary depression, and rightly so. My take on this is he already announced that he's going to take some unorthodox steps if he has to. He announced that just a few days ago.
Scary.
My feeling is this is his way of saying he's going to print money.
Hmm.
And we're going to have inflation. This is why, my on my newsletters, I have said to people to invest in gold and silver, and on this month's newsletter, I'm making suggestions about where to invest. It's not a matter of investing in gold and silver. It's a matter of having something that has an innate value when currency is going to be seriously inflated and its value going down.
Right. Unfortunately,
so
we have to end this.
For more currency crises and more draconian measures are ahead of us when it comes to this.
So you think we buy gold and silver if we've got any money at all?
Yes.
And have marketable.
Defense against normally in a healthy market, that's not what we would do.
Right.
But this is not, these times are not healthy in terms of the value of currency, the stability of currency. The cabal does not want everybody to be running into gold. Americans, there are very few Americans that are really invested in gold. Sovereign wealth nations like China, Russia, India, their sovereign wealth funds are loading up, have been loading up on gold for years now.
Wow.
Because they could see the coming crises that are ahead of us.
Well, Linda, we have to go, and I'd love to have you on again. So you come back.
Oh, I love being on your show, Veronica, and I do hear from some of your wonderful listeners from time to time. And
good. Well, they always get excited when you're coming back on. So give the name of your book again. People need to read this book. It's such a...
Yeah, my book is What Next? A Survival Guide to the 21st Century.
And it's practical.
You can buy it either off of my website, Soothe... Sayer, that's SOOTHESAYER.com, or you can buy it off of Amazon.com.
Well, Linda, it's been such a pleasure, and we will talk again soon. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show, Veronica.
You take care, and thanks for the heads up, girl.
Great.
All right. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Paradigm Shifters. Get off there and buy some gold and silver. Build some solar panels. Love the inventor in your life, and maybe we can make our way out of a greenlessness. I don't mean the money part, or we can shift the value of green together. I'll see you next week on Paradigm Shifters. Good night. Many blessings.